You are listening to episode number 233 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. To another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am your host, Ben, aka the Marla Ziggy. Joining me as black as Sky, no, not Elektra, Taser. Taser, welcome back.
What the fuck?
Holy shit.
I'm gonna make
Did you just call me Midnight?
Pretty much. I could have called you Midnighter, but that would have been a whole bunch of other things.
Or Ink? You could have called me Ink?
I could have called you Black Thunder.
Coming this fall to Fox, no. It's Casper and Midnight, the all-new buddy cop drama.
Wait a minute, was that a spook reference?
No. Well, for Brian or for me?
They answer only to one man, Captain Tijuana of the NYPD.
And let me guess, you're Captain Whitebread?
Joining us is
no,
Captain
I'm
Whitebread,
Casper.
Brian
You're
Powers.
Midnight, Benjamin's oh. Captain TJ.
Captain T.
Am I TJ Hooker? Is that what this is? Is this a TJ Hooker reference?
Yeah. So la siento.
God damn it. I'm just Ponch. That's all I am. I'm Ponch.
So then Bri's John, and I'm the black guy that drove around in the car and didn't do much but drive with the white woman. There
You're
you
driving
go.
Driving Miss Daisy?
I get. Yeah. Yes, sir. Can you take me to the store? I sure will do, Miss Daisy.
That would movie would not fly. Like, can you imagine if somebody said they were going to have the remake Driving Miss Daisy now?
Holy I've never seen shit. That movie.
It's Had a good no... movie. It's okay. It's okay. All right. Brian, Taser, introduce yourself.
I'm the black guy.
Thank you. And joining us is our editor-in-chief, the man responsible for all the good copy on the website, Captain Whitebread. Brian Powers.
Hey, that's Agent Wonderbread to you, homeboy. Excuse you.
People under the age of 40 are not going to get this reference at all. So, in case you're listening and this is your first time listening, we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel related. So, that means comics, movies, TV shows, video games, and yes, you can ask Taser, this is true. Even porn. We've covered Marvel porn before. Not a lot, but we've covered it. Although we should cover more toys. I feel like we should talk about some more toy releases.
We do requests.
Yes, so if you want to hear about a particular review or anything, Reddit, looking at you, or in your Facebook group, let us know.
And Darth Primus, that goes for you.
Yes. I'll think about it, argue with Brian about it, and then reluctantly say yes. So... let's get off with some
that
casting.
Describes all the A's and Shield of Shield and Agent Carter stuff we've ever done in the show.
Absolutely right. So let's kick it off right now with Thor Ragnarok dropped the casting bombshell.
Boom.
You see Loki. I don't think your plan's gonna work because you see Thor finds a way. If you did, Brian, give us the deeds, because I'm doing a horrible impression of that actor since now this movie. See, that's just bad.
Jeff Goldblum has joined the ranks of Ragnarok, among others. He will be playing, perhaps most head-scratchingly, the Grand Master.
I think that's
Brundlefly.
Perfect.
He'll be Brundlefly.
Really,
oh God, so you guys never saw The Fly? Oh my God.
I love that movie.
Oh, I was about to say.
Love that movie.
Also enlisted is Kate Blanchett, better known for movies, you know, Lord that have Rings. Class and Oscar award nominations and stuff. She'll be playing Mistress Hela this time around. The movie's
death,
big bad
Loki.
Villain. Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Also included is Tessa Thompson, Michael B. Jordan's love interest from Creed. She will be playing the hero Valkyrie on the big screen.
Wait. Is she Coco or Vanilla?
She's Coco,
man.
So we... Coco Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Valkyrie.
Okay. All right.
Well, we got an Asian in Asgardian, so why the fuck not?
Yeah, well, there's also Idris Elba as Heimdall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And nobody said boo about this casting. Everyone's all up in arms over Idris Elba, but she gets in, and it's like, okay. All right.
I don't think anybody knows who the hell she is. That's kind of the thing.
Fair enough. And rounding out the cast is Carl Urban, who you know from movies such as Star Trek and also Dredd.
He was in Lord of the Rings as Amir. So
yes, he will be playing Scourge the Executioner.
That's interesting.
I think you could do it.
That's interesting. I'm not sure.
So that's what we got lined up for Thor Ragnarok, people. Of course, we have the returning people, such as Chris Hemsworth as Thor and Tom Hiddleston as Loki. Interestingly, though, no Natalie Portman this time around. Jane Foster has been dropped off the map. She's out somewhere. The ether.
Good. Cannot say good enough. Thor does not need a romantic lead. I'm sorry.
Actually, they were saying that she was dropped off to make room for Tessa Thompson being his possible romantic interest this time around. So,
okay, I'm saying it again. Thor does not need a romantic lead.
He doesn't really, other than Sif, who is even just kind of just like there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Thor does not need a romantic lead. and I like Sif, but Thor does not need a romantic lead. There's nothing about Thor that anytime you have Thor and fucking Jane Foster together on screen, it's like, oh, I have to protect Jane. Jane, you must make sure that you're... Fuck Jane. As much as I like Natalie Portman as an actress, and I think she's cute as a female, she annoyed me in the whatchamacallit movies. No, get rid of her and keep Sif. And if you want to toss in Valkyrie... as, you know, badass chick with a sword, I'm good with that. If you want to give me Valkyrie, who... actually, in the comics, there was a thing between Valkyrie and one of Thor's previous lives when he was Sigurd. That's actually from the mythology, too. Go look that up. If she's a badass chick with a sword, fine. If she's, you know, one of his past... You know, she's a romantic interest? I don't want that. No. It takes away from the butt kicking. So, yeah, keep the butt kicking. Get rid of the romantic interest.
What do you think about the other casting notes? Like Jeff Goldblum joining
President Obama? No, let me stop. All I can say is, and I spoke a bit about this on the GLCMB, you know, talking with Darth Primus, D to the P. I hope they do a better version of the Grandmaster than they did with the Collector, because the Collector, Benicio del Toro, played an excellent fop, which was an insult to the Collector's character. So I hope and pray that whatever they decide to do for the Grandmaster here, they don't do that. They do something that pulls off that imperiousness that a lot of the elders had. You know, I don't want a man who... Oh, I have to make sure that my collections... Oh, please, don't touch this. The glass can be... No, dear God, no. Don't. Whatever you do, don't do that. Don't make him a geek either, you know, because he's a gamesman, you know, because that's the Grandmaster's thing. He's all about chance. He takes risks.
He plays games.
Yes, on a huge intergalactic universal scale, but because this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that won't be exactly like that, and I understand that, but just don't make him...
Like, have him manipulate Thor and Loki into doing things he wants them to do, and then have a chess...
Yeah, you know, you gotta remember, board. I mean, this dude wasn't successful... But he was able to fuck around with Thanos. He deserves some modicum of respect and to be treated with like he is a genuine cosmic being.
Actually, this was a dude who managed to take half of death. There's a a two-parter between the Avengers and West Coast Avengers that happened back in the late 80s, early 90s, where the Grandmaster took Death's power, at least half of it, and he ended up having a contest between the Avengers, West Coast Avengers, and the Dead Avengers. And if I can find a link to the title of that book, I really suggest you to read it, because everybody who had been somebody related to the Avengers, including Scourge, Captain Marvel, Bucky, the Swordsman, and all of that stuff, they ended up fighting. They ended up fighting the Avengers, and Avengers died. Yes, indeedy, they do. It was a good, tasty, violent story that we, you know, the Avengers ended up winning, but you got to see exactly how much of a threat the Grandmaster was to everybody, because he was able to do that. So, knowing that I'm not going to get that, I'm still crossing my fingers and hoping we get a decent version, you know, with Jeff Gold.
Okay. What about Tessa Thompson or Carl Urban as...
Carl Urban as... Scourge. You know what I think about Scourge.
You love Scourge.
You love Scourge.
So you know what I think about Scourge. Scourge is like that big, directed, lovesick brute that can totally ruin your day without thinking about it, because yeah, he is that person. And I don't know if they'll play it like that, because well, they haven't mentioned Amora, you know, the Enchantress here. I think they're just going to use Scourge as, like, generic Asgardian thug, if he's even Asgardian, because God only knows.
Maybe they'll make him a dwarf this time around. I will hold them off. Look at the little guy. He's got a battle axe. Stop it. I'm hardcore.
No, I'm just picturing Scourge as when Carlin played Dredd, that no nonsense, take no prisoners kind of attitude.
You know, I would love to see that, and you know what would really work is if they gave him his helmet that he had in the comics, and he does like he did in Dredd, he never takes it off.
Oh, that'd be great.
But he's permanently in character. He's that roadblock that Thor has to get past, and it's one hell of a roadblock, you know?
Not roadblock from G.I. Joe, an actual
roadblock. No, not roadblock from G.I. Joe, no, just...
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, what are you doing here?
I'll be able to smack down the God of Thunder.
You know who would have been an excellent Scourge?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
No, hell no. what's his name? The guy from... WCW, WWF, Goldberg?
Goldberg, yeah.
Goldberg would have been next.
I thought you were going to say the guy who plays the Mountain from Game of Thrones. I thought he, you know.
Don't watch Game of Thrones, don't know who that is.
Oh, really? I thought you definitely watched Game of Thrones.
Mm-mm. A-Train loves it. You know, I never got into it.
There you go. Move on.
Okay. But yeah, no. Carl Urban, okay, fine. I've seen Carl Urban in enough stuff. I've liked a lot of his stuff. I don't have a problem. Same thing with Jeff Goldblum. The girl who's playing Valkyrie, I don't know anything with her. So I can't really say anything negative, pro or con, you know, positive or negative about her. So she's, you know, kind of whatever. And Hela, Kate Blanchett, I was never into. She did the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, right? Oh, no.
That's Keira Knightley.
Yeah, she was from Titanic. And
Kate Blanchett?
Wasn't that her with the...
No, she was Galadriel in Lord of the Rings. I think that was her.
Yeah, she was Lady Galadriel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, she was in the movie, but you recognized her.
Interesting.
She can carry that presence. You give her the right costume, the right lighting, she can be Mistress Death.
I think she could... But see, now here's the thing. D to the P have mentioned that he'd seen a rumor that they were going to play her as a mix between Hela and Death. And I don't know.
She is the goddess of death, so... Well, I mean, it's not Death in the character from the Marvel Universe, but I could see them doing that.
I don't know. I think it's an interesting thing because they're not playing the Asgardians as gods. She wouldn't have that necessarily that gravitas. But I kind of wanted that. But if they're not going to do that, they're going to have her play as like some avatar-ish of death. Then I think that could be interesting. I honestly think Kate Blanchett could pull that off. You know, I've seen enough of her playing, you know, like regal characters you have to pay a lot of attention to because they're not somebody that you blink against.
Oh, yeah, no. She definitely plays regal characters, you know? She played Elizabeth I, and she also played Katharine Hepburn in The Aviator, that Leo DiCaprio flick a while back. So,
because it was Leo DiCaprio.
Ah, I guess it's the white person thing.
No, I'm a Philistine. I only watch violent movies, so I can.
Okay. So if she showed up in like It Man or something like that, you'd have seen her in that.
Well, she can show up here, so he'll see it then.
Go Beans.
Anything else on the casting news, guys?
Disappointed that they're not giving us any other Asgardian like Amora or I don't know.
Yeah, the absence of the Enchantress is kind of head-scratching, especially considering that Scourge and her were, like, a tag team.
Well, they haven't started shooting yet, so they could always theoretically cast her.
Yeah, I know, but even still.
Or even, like, Baldur. You know, you can't have Ragnarok without Baldur.
And yet Baldur has been nowhere to be seen anywhere in these movies.
True enough. True enough. But that's kind of my point, so...
Yeah, Baldur's death triggers Ragnarok, right?
Exactly. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out exactly how are they going to take and get around the whole mythological angle. I guess since they're not gods, it doesn't matter, but...
Yeah,
you know,
that's their out. That's their out right there.
See, but that sucks, though. This is an excellent opportunity for you to actually introduce more from that whole thing, and they... You know, it's just kind of, I don't know. It's underwhelming, you know.
How do you feel that Mark Ruffalo is in this movie? That the Hulk is actually going to be fighting in this movie?
You want me to feel this one?
Go ahead, man.
I'm interested to see it, but I'm morbidly interested because, you know, the Hulk, to my knowledge, doesn't have much dealing with Asgard, except for when he's fucking the place up in animated features. So, you know, as far as... I mean, because Bruce Banner had to go somewhere after Age of Ultron. He disappeared off into the ether somewhere, and then he just shows up.
He doesn't... Like, the movie will probably do some quick way, like, why he's there. Like, I don't think he just showed up there, right?
Thor probably took him.
Yeah, that would make sense. Like, you want Bruce, my friend?
I won't have a problem with that whatsoever. He might have just, you know, he comes down, he sees Banner hiding somewhere, and he goes, "Look, partner, I would like to offer you sanctuary up in another dimension." Ho ho ho.
Yeah, right? Give him, maybe try to find a way to help him, you know, even more closely manage the Hulk. But all I can say is... The offensive line that is Thor, the Hulk, and fucking Scourge the Executioner, motherfuckers better run. They better run fast. They better run far.
Absolutely.
And has he mentioned Surtur?
No Surtur yet. No Surtur confirmed yet.
Because I want to hear. They're going to have to CGI him. I want to know who they're going to get to do his voice. You know, that's all I'm really concerned with.
It'll be a fire cloud.
Hopefully he's in there. Oh, God, if that happens, I'm hating this movie no matter what. No matter how much I might like everything else, that movie gets Surtur. If they do the Galactus thing.
Oh.
Like, he's just a fire cloud? No, I'm hating the movie. You know,
it's a cloud of cosmic radiation come to drench the world in fire. It's like, fuck off with that shit, man. Come on, more fire demons.
You have to give us... Odin versus Surtur.
Another thing, actually. How are they going to get around the Loki is Odin fucking thing that they kind of dropped in Dark World and just kind of ran away with it? Like, where the fuck
is
that?
Coincidence. And then, what's that music? Where, like, you run one hallway, then another hallway.
Fucking Benny Hill?
Benny Hill music, that's how. Like, Odin's going to go to a meeting, then Loki, Odin's going to go to another meeting, they meet each other, run back. There you go. That's how you
know. Actually, you know what's funny? You know that the theme music for Attack on Titan, that would work for a battle scene in Thor.
No, that's too Japanese.
Hilly?
Legit too Japanese.
Yeah, well, if not the lyrics, the music.
No, not even the lyrics. I don't think it would fit.
I think you like it,
but I don't think it would fit.
As a big battle scene, I think it would. It's
too stylistically different from what everything. You just, I know, I understand why you like it, but it wouldn't fit.
It's awesome.
It is awesome, but it wouldn't fit Thor. But either way, let's move on. We got shit to talk about. Brian, what's next on the docket?
Okay, well, what else do we got? Well, we got an interesting little tidbit brought to us by our very own Taser. He was the one who took an interest in this to begin with. Let's see. There was a story published in talking about how, as we all know, Iron Man 3 featured sort of a plot twist in the third act where it was revealed that the bad guy wasn't really the bad guy and he was just a patsy for the real bad guy of the movie. If that sounds convoluted, well, you're not alone in thinking that. Trust me, the box office reflects that. The opening of the article actually says, Shane Black directed one of the most successful Marvel movies. I'm like, okay, stop right there. Stop right there. Bullshit. But regardless, so there was a twist in the movie where, you know, the Mandarin is revealed to be an actor hired by the actual bad guy, who was Aldrich Killian. And an early draft of the script actually had Rebecca Hall's character, Maya... What the fuck was her name?
Maya Hansen.
Maya Hansen, thank you. Maya Hansen. Character. Yeah. She allegedly had a bigger role and was in line to be the main villain of Iron Man 3 instead of Aldrich Killian. And according to Shane Black in an interview, basically what had happened was Marvel Corporate came down, specifically the toy division department, and they said you can't do that because a female toy won't sell, so you can't make her the main villain.
That's insulting, and as male as I am, yeah. I'm actually I'm disturbed by that.
Well, here's Shane, the dumb thing, though. I don't remember Aldrich Killian even getting toys.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention to toys either, so well, fair enough.
I mean, I would have remembered something like that. It's just like, you know what that is? You know what this is? This is old-ass white dudes.
Well, that's what Shane Black goes on to say, in that he defends Kevin Feige. He said it wasn't Kevin Feige's call. It was corporate backers, and specifically Ike Perlmutter, and that this was one of the contributing factors into the split of the Marvel Cinematic Universe from the rest of the Marvel corporate, which is TV, video games, toys, that whole thing. So that split, this whole issue was one of the dividing factors in the split from the MCU with the rest of Marvel corporate. So,
Basically, yeah. Corporate.
Basically, yeah, because apparently Ike Perlmutter, the guy who ran that shit, he had said that women, you know, they couldn't lead a superhero flick, so I think he had a bit more to say in that. Yeah. Yep.
Fucking, these are just old, these are old white dudes who are set in their mode.
No. It's not like he doesn't have a point, but it's just that to date, there haven't been a lot of female hero movies, superhero movies, and the only one that I could really, the only two that I could think of, you know, Catwoman and Elektra did poorly.
They were also really bad movies.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. But can you name anything else that had a female superhero? Yeah, I really can't, you know? And I part of it is because I think Elektra was watered down. They took Elektra, who was badass assassin, brought back from the dead, and then immediately threw her into the role of playing mother, you know? Yeah, so that was an insult to the character.
That wasn't so... I mean, look, okay, that could be argued that the treatment of the movies was the problem in itself, not exactly the characters, you know?
Because agreed. All, no, I'm not... I wasn't saying the characters.
Look how everybody went apeshit over Wonder Woman. Like, they were saying that she's the best part of that movie. And now they're hung. They can't wait for her movie because of that movie. So it's right. Audiences want it. It's just... The movies they attempted have been awful. Mm. So it's not like can't. It's just that they're treated as secondhand and therefore given
point of fact. Black Widow, 6 movies, no movie of her own.
Well, exactly. Well, again, that's from the Ike Perlmutter. It's like women can't lead, so we're not even gonna try. When the fact is, no, you give them the resources, the best writers, a good director, you can make a good movie centered around a female superhero. I mean, they're doing it. It's called Captain Marvel.
Give them a fair chance. That's
Exactly. And this is just like, I would have, I don't know how much the plot would have changed, but I would have been cool to see a female villain and not generic white businessman who was not the leader of AIM.
But, you know, historically, they have been given lesser treatments than the male heroes. I mean, what do we have for female superhero flicks? We have Elektra, Catwoman. Going back deeper than that, we have what? Helen Slater, Supergirl.
Dino Woman and Electra Girl. Dino Woman and Electra Girl.
No. No.
Well, like you said, Helen Slater, Supergirl, which is a, which was
oh, yeah, right.
trying to Good make point. A Superman movie from the Christopher Reeve era with like a quarter of the budget.
And that's really it.
And, you know, Elektra, she had, they drew upon that weak sauce source material that was in 2003 Daredevil flick. So, you know, they were already kind of playing with a handicap there. And fuck Catwoman. That shit was an abomination. But
that's not even Catwoman.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't. It honestly wasn't. So I think, you know, given the proper attention and treatment, you could turn it into a profitable franchise, you know. But it's just, you can't put second tier talent on that stuff, you know? I mean,
you can't if you don't want to risk anything.
For
I think what they'll do.
For as commercially unsuccessful as it was, Agent Carter was a critically well received program on television. And
that
she didn't
only
even get
one season?
Two seasons.
Wait,
shut up
season
and die.
Two?
Wow. You make me come over there.
Breaking news.
Make me come over
there.
Apparently,
Agent Carter had a season two. I had no idea.
You know what? I'm shoving a burrito somewhere on your body.
Oh, yum. Sounds like a Friday night.
With lots of picante sauce.
No, I like queso. Chips con queso.
I'll give you your queso.
Damn. All right. But the point is, I think we all agree this is fucked up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Highly so.
Anything else to say, guys?
I'm not sure that this plot twist would have made for a better Iron Man 3 than the one that we got. But I will say that...
Not going to fix the abomination they did to the Mandarin.
Yeah, there wasn't really any saving that movie when that decision came down, to be perfectly honest. But
that I can blame Shane Black for. That's his
fault. All we can do is learn from our mistakes and move on.
Yes. Hopefully, when all these old-ass white dudes who are in charge of all these corporate powers and then the people who are younger than them take over and they realize, like, you know what? Let's fucking do it. I mean, we're gonna get a Wonder Woman movie. Granted, it's not Marvel, but Wonder Woman's coming out next year. We should eventually get a Black Widow movie. And, of course, we got Captain Marvel coming out at some point. You know, so.
Yeah.
And arguably, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has some good, strong female women. Female women, because that's not an oxymoron. Some good, strong female leads in Quake and Lee May. Not Lee May. What's her name? Linda May.
Chun-Li.
There you go.
Tell you what, I would love a last-minute plot twist where Captain Marvel starts, and it's like, guess what, bitches? It's Marvel in your face!
Fade out. No, I want to see Carol Danvers. As cool as it would be to see Marvel. Marvel has to be involved in it somehow. But that's not the end of it. We'll talk about Captain Marvel whenever we get more... When actually they get a confirmed release date.
Good point.
Yes. So now we're going to move on to individual reviews, which I'm going to go first. You've heard me rail on Civil War and how I Civil War 2 and I think it's stupid and it's
what?
A cash
no.
grab. And,
what?
Yeah, no. it's almost as like Agent Carter had a season 2, you know, it's like that's how bad I think this
you
is.
You son of a bitch. Just couldn't let us have it.
So it was a light week for me, so I said I'm a fucking Marvel Comics podcast host. I have to at least talk about the issue zero and issue one and no promises to read first issues. So I read issue zero because of the comic shop guy said, I think you're going to like it. I think going with an open mind. So I did. We've been critical of Bendis over the... This didn't feel like it was written by Bendis. It didn't have that quippy...
It didn't have the Bendisisms.
It was just a very straightforward comic book. So what you have is a series of several stories. When you have She-Hulk sort of defending one of her clients who's been accused of this crime, and the juror wants to put it away because he was a super criminal and he had thoughts of putting back the costume on again. He didn't actively do anything. That was her whole defense, that
specifically he was talking about what he would different than his past attempts with a shield plant. He was trapped into that conversation.
But the point is, Jen points out, he was just talking.
Yes.
Not doing it, talking, and how the jury was poisoned against him. You know, we have to allow for the freedom of thought, because if we do not, we are not a free people. You know? So in between that, we got War Machine, which I think this is the sort of the biggest move, also, where that War Machine is called to the White House Situation Room and he meets with Barack Obama, and basically he offers him,
allegedly it was Barack Obama.
It's Barack Obama. It's clearly Obama.
They could have shown Obama. They didn't. They kept him in shadow. I think they just wanted to be nebulous about it.
Well, like, it's never, they never will show the president, but like, it's,
he never said his name. He was always in shadow.
It's Obama.
What? Okay.
It's Obama. Obama also has a huge fro, apparently. but basically offering him the being Secretary of Defense, which my mind went to, oh yeah, the position that Tony Stark had about a decade ago. But
yeah, good point.
And eventually, you know, and sort of hitting on the Donald Trump sort of thing, where the president sort of says, I'm not going to say it's Obama no more, but the president sort of says, eventually one of you superheroes are going to be president. Tony Stark is going to think he's right for the job, which I couldn't help that they're comparing Tony Stark to Donald Trump in a way. Like, you don't have the right to be president, and your arrogance thinks you can be president. So take that from what you will. That's what I got out of it. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one. But basically sort of setting the seeds of, you'll be my Secretary of Defense, and eventually you'll become the President of the United States, and as a superhero, you can have a lot more. I would rather you be the representative of the superhero community as the President of the United States and not Tony Stark, which I think is really interesting. I think it could be really interesting for Rhodey's character if they go this route and not kill him off in Civil War. The other aspect, which I thought was really interesting, was there's an inhuman shit I don't really care about, but sort of with Captain Marvel, who is the, you know, considering this fight it's supposed to be between Captain Marvel and Iron Man, we get a lot of more perspective from Captain Marvel in that she gets an impromptu therapy session with Doc Samson, and I found it funny. She's like, are you sessioning me right now? Which I thought was really funny. And she basically, you know, she's trying to balance her life as the Ultimates, her own personal life, and, you know, that, what did Doc said, that theory of control, that false control, trying to control everything, and how it's dangerous, and you shouldn't, like, and it's letting Carol sort of drive her, you know, and I found it really interesting that this is where they're going with her, and I don't know what sparks the fight between them. The illusion control, that's what he's referring to. It'll eat you alive. And how the ultimate, and again, sort of goes right after her team in that, that's what the Ultimates are, preemptive strikes, stopping it before it happens, and how long can you do that? I guess it sort of sets up a positioning. Then we get one final sort of engage between Jennifer Walt, She-Hulk, and Maria Hill, in that Maria Hill basically tells him he was going to do it anyways. Which, to Jen as a lawyer, it's like, that doesn't matter to the case at hand, and you can already see that sets sort of their line, that Jen, it sort of establishes where they're going to go, whatever the issue is, because it looks like the issue is going to be over, that there was a Terrigen Mist going along, and at this random high school, and this kid who gets gambitized for some reason, and then he wakes up, most of the city is nuked, like, worse than Stanford. So obvious. I mean, it's no surprise that they weren't gonna draw from the Inhuman side of things, but there's a lot of interesting ideas here. It was a very good Zero issue. I don't know if it did a good job of setting up of why they're fighting, because that's what I want to know. Like, what is the moral ground? Maybe that'll happen in issue one, or maybe it's just setting these are the three important characters for Civil War: War Machine, Captain Marvel, She-Hulk. But it was very good, and I liked some of the ideas. And also Olivier Coipel's art, it was just outstanding. I think his line was thicker too. Like, it didn't look like his old stuff. It looked a lot like bolder, if I'm gonna say anything. I'm not promising to review every single issue in the series, but I will definitely take a sneak peek at issue one and go on a base by base basis at this point. If Bendis can write this without his typical Bendisisms, we might be in for something that's okay. Maybe not amazing, like, but at least okay. I give it a 4 out of 5. It was a very good Zero issue, and kind of sort of like alleviates the pain of what I've been thinking. But let's move it up to Brian.
I think that if I might, because I read it too, and I thought it was interesting that, you know, they were lining up She-Hulk to have the position that she was going to have, and Captain Marvel to have the position that she was going to have. And if you remember correctly, Captain Marvel wasn't she on Cap's side during Civil War?
No, she was on Tony Stark's side. She headed up the Mighty Avengers for the initiative after the initial Civil War storyline.
But she was on New Avengers. Okay.
She abandoned ship when Norman Osborn came to power. When he took over initiative, that's when she jumped ship.
Okay. All right. That's where I was walking. Okay. Because I was about to say, you know, I remember her siding with Cap. Well, it might have been during. Okay. Either way, I thought she had sided with Cap during that. But given that, okay, if she sided with Tony, then her having the position that she looks to have in the whole. Wanting to be proactive and stopping threats and everything else like that. That makes sense. And I actually don't have a problem with that, but it's like, how far do you go? It looks like they're doing the Minority Report. You know, it looks like that type of thing is going to happen, you know, where we're going to snatch people up before they become problems, but they haven't actually done anything. And, you know, that's the whole thing that Jen was, you know, arguing against. Well, he hasn't done anything, and there's nothing wrong, even though it might be disturbing, there's nothing wrong with having a thought. You know, we're not into thought police. We don't do that. So seeing that that's how things are going to play out, I'll admit it's interesting, but I don't want to see this again, you know, because again, it's just it's a rehash for something that was done, you know, a few years ago. And I mean, come on, really? Do we have to go there again? I give this book a 3.5, even though I'm not reading Civil War 2, but I think it was nicely laid out in where these characters were positioned in regards to how things are going to play out. So I like that, you know. There we go.
All right. Thank you. But Brian, close us out with the return of, I need a clever name, Pimtron. There you go, Pimtron.
Pimped out Tron.
That's the title of the episode, The Return Pimtron. Of Pimtron. Write that down for me, Brian.
Okay, yeah. Part one, The Man Who Fell to Earth, The Return of Hank Pym / Ultron or Pimtron, whatever the fuck his name is. The issue starts off with Rogue catching up with Gambit, and if you'll recall, a few issues back, Rogue allegedly ran into Gambit while on a heist in Bogalia hunting down the Red Skull, who is in possession of Charles Xavier's brain.
Wait, that's still a thing?
Yeah, that's still a thing.
I thought they were resolved. What the fuck?
Nope, not resolved. He's still out there with Charlie's brain.
God
Yep. So she catches up with Gambit, and she kind of questions him about being there, and he says no, he wasn't there, which confirms what she already guessed at, in that the Red Skull was right in front of her, and she didn't know. And Gambit kind of bucks her up and is like, hey, look, you know, if you do find this guy, let me know, okay? I'll come running. It's like, oh, yeah, you will? And he's like, yeah, after what Red Skull did to the Professor, all of us will come running. Of course, and flying mutants and whatnot. And that's actually kind of a cool show of solidarity, I think. But...
Hashtag not all mutants.
Rogue gets called away, however, to deal with an object entering Earth's atmosphere, which is, I think it's a piece of the International Space Station that broke off, and she goes to intercept it and save it, but little does she know, it's already been intercepted and saved by none other than Hank Pym himself, who is sporting an Ultron body. Yes, indeed. And it starts off pretty calm so far. He is himself. I mean, he talks like himself. His face is himself, but... is his whole everything below his neck is sort of Ultron-y. So Rogue decides to sort of shepherd Pym to meet with Captain America and Deadpool, who are taking on a group of extremists who are holding up in a wildlife preserve because the Inhumans are closing in, they're taking over, and they're rednecks, and that's bad. And you actually get Deadpool cracking a "they took our jobs" joke in the middle of, you know, what's going on. So Rogue brings Hank Pym to meet with Cap and Deadpool, and of course the rest of the Uncanny Avengers show up basically to sort of vet Hank Pym, because of course, being that he is merged with Ultron, they don't trust him as far as they can throw him. So you have Dr. Voodoo trying to sense a human soul, you have Cable there with his future tech, and Synapse, who's Inhuman mind reader or whatever, trying to figure out exactly what Hank Pym is now. And I will say that he comes off a little bit arrogant. Cable comes in saying, like, you know, you'll have to submit the suit for peer review, and Hank Pym's like, the problem, Cable, is that I don't have peers anymore, you know. And it's kind of like, yeah, he's kind of an arrogant dick.
Wait, Cable's still part of the book?
Yeah, he ended up sticking around.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that sad that one of my favorite characters is part of one of my favorite Avengers books, and I could not give a shit
anymore? No, it just happens sometimes.
Who's the artist for this now?
Oh, Pepe Larraz.
I like Pepe Larraz.
Pepe Larraz did a good first issue, but I'm afraid because the cover for the next issue is Stegman, so I think he might be back for the next issue. I hope not, but I'll keep you updated on that. But Pepe Larraz is doing all the interiors for this issue, and so... they vet Hank Pym, and Hank Pym reveals that everything pretty much below his upper torso is machinery. He doesn't have much organic left. He's pretty much just an upper torso and his head. And, you know. But the interesting thing is that the Ultron suit kind of behaves almost like a symbiote or techno-organic type stuff, because he's able to flip on an Ultron helmet like nobody's business and be like, you know, he sounds like himself, and he asks for a burger because he hasn't been eaten in months, and, you know. It's really kind of odd, Ultron asking to eat a cheeseburger, but...
So he's an Iron Man cyborg combo.
He's Pymtron.
There you go.
Kind of. So Rogue is sort of made to babysit Hank Pym, while Cap goes off...
his real name, Pymtron.
Yeah. While Cap goes off and does the dutiful thing, and he informs Janet of, by the way, Hank's alive, so... Yeah, talk to you later, Jan.
And wait a minute, he didn't call Tigra and say, hey, Tigra, the guy who almost fathered your half-tiger baby is here.
Nope, he called up Janet Van Dyne first and foremost. And they didn't even show her reaction to this issue. I guess they're saving that for the next issue.
Nobody wants to talk to the furry.
We find Hank Pym and Rogue at the old Avengers Mansion, which I don't know if I told you guys, that's been turned into a tourist destination.
Ew!
Wait, hang on.
It gets better, because it's also used as a not advertised as, but used as a fetishist hotel where people dress up like the Avengers and knock boots.
What?
Yeah.
That's dumb. Wow. If that's a joke, crap. That's dumb. That's a horrible joke.
That's awful.
That's no, it should be closed as a museum, not a
that's
all. Yeah, no, it's a LARP hotel slash fetishist hotel. So
fuck, you know. Whose idea was that? That's not even funny.
That's not
That's the fuck that's Avengers all. Mansion right there. Come on. No right memming an Avengers would have like said, yeah, I'm okay with this. That's what Civil War is about. That's what Civil War 2 is about. Tony was like, let's have them knock boots. Captain Rogue
I love is that Rogue goes on to say, like, well, you know, Hank, it was a really expensive piece of real estate in Manhattan, and we couldn't hold on to everything, but the money went to saving lives of people whose lives were upended by evil villains, and, you know.
Hold on, did Tony Stark own that because Avengers Mansion was his property?
I think he ended up selling it to Luke Cage when he and the rest of them moved in after Steve Rogers came in, but, you know, apparently it bounced back into the Avengers group fund or whatever, or some shit like that, and, you know. And anyway, Hank Pym probably does the most sensible thing. He goes onto the grounds and he blows up his memorial statue that had been recently minted in his honor, just because, you know, I'm alive.
You're not calling his real name, Pymtron.
Fine, Pymtron blows up his memorial statue.
Dick.
And so him and Rogue fly off with Hank Pym celebrating that, yeah, you know, it's that was stupid, but I felt really good, and I'm alive now. Hank Pym is back. He calls himself Hank Pym, so that's a direct quote. Don't call me on that.
Pymtron?
And also, we get a Stan Lee cameo in this issue.
Oh, who?
Stan Lee cameo. He is
weird.
The most unfortunate put-upon janitor of the hotel. That poor bastard. Yeah. And, you know, nothing ever goes wrong again with Hank Pym, and everyone is happily ever after. No, fuck that. Next issue supposedly has more trouble for what it's worth, and we get more of Pymtron.
Thank you.
Get more of that, but I don't know, man. You know, I've stuck around for 9 issues, and I keep waiting for this book to get better, and it's not getting better. It's,
I'm glad I dropped off at issue 2, then.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see how the Hank Pym storyline plays out, but I kind of don't want to.
This is clearly not Rick Remender's Avengers, is it?
No. This is where is that was like. Think about the consequence of your actions here in the future in all species. This is like Deadpool makes jokes and shoots people. You know.
And he's on a team with Captain America.
Captain America apparently is taking quite well to Deadpool. They've become buddies, it would seem.
That's really weird.
Quick question.
Yes.
Quick. The new Yellow Jacket ended up being his daughter, didn't she?
The new Wasp.
Thank you. The new Wasp. So did we get that? Because I don't think he knows she's around.
Avengers 9.
I gave you a direct play-by-play of the whole issue, so whether or not that will come about in the later issues, it remains to be seen.
They both return the same month, so they're clearly planning something.
That ought to be really interesting.
As of right now, they have not crossed over.
Meet your daughter.
Okay. You haven't even had Pymtron meet back up with Janet yet, so
he's on command now. It's hilarious.
So that's where we're at right now with Hank Pym / Ultron / Pymtron, whatever the fuck you want to call him. And, you know, next issue we'll see how it all goes terribly wrong. Because you know it has to go terribly wrong at some point. But I will say this.
Anytime dealing with a Pymtron, you're always going to have problems. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this
episode. Hold on, he's not done.
Oh, I thought he was done. Are you done?
I was going to say one more thing.
Oh.
Fiddler Oz is a welcome relief from Ryan Stegman on Interiors. Fiddler Oz, please stick around.
I doubt he will, though.
Yeah, I probably won't. All right, that'll do it for me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. As always, if you want to keep up with us, check us out on Facebook and Reddit under our podcast, where Taser constantly checks up on there. I want to thank Taser for doing that as well. Appreciate that.
Muchas gracias, Señor Taser.
Sí.
If you want, on Twitter, follow at Warriors3PCast for all updates and when the show goes officially live. And subscribe to us on iTunes as well. Now time for personal plugs. Twitch.tv/Iggy2814 for all my live streams. Currently streaming Metroid Prime 2 Echoes and little sessions I call missions. As of today, when this is released, Mission number 5 will be uploaded to YouTube. If you want to watch these, so just click by the YouTube link in my Twitch channel. It'll take you there. Head over to GreenLanternCorps.com for upcoming news and reviews on the Green Lantern Rebirth, the DC Universe Rebirth. I'm actually going to write a review for the upcoming DC Rebirth special that's coming out this week. So look for
that. Who reviews the reviewer, though?
Yes.
That is the question.
I'm sure somebody does. I'm a nobody on that, you know, but whatever. The big finale, Justice League number 50, the conclusion to the Darkseid War, so come check that out. MarvelousSiggy.wordpress.com if you want fun movie commentaries. Dragon and I, this week's upload was Lincoln, the 2012 film directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Daniel Day-Lewis. So if you wanted to hear us talk about the Civil War, politics, and Abe Lincoln in general, go watch that, listen to that commentary and watch the movie along with us, or just take it along for the ride. We try to make it to where it's doable for both situations. Y'all want to say anything before we go?
No, I'm good.
Brian, anything to say?
No, I'm all set.
Okay, and always in on because you get a double bonus of the Mighty Warriors this week. If you look either on the same feed on the same week, you'll see our Captain America Captain America Civil War special edition podcast. So be sure to check that out as well. And just to give a warning, there will not be an episode next week, because next week's Memorial Day and we're all taking the day off. Me, I'll probably just bury myself in either Killer Instinct or Street Fighter V, whichever I want to play at that day. So, until next time, guys, I'm the Marlowe Siggy, that is Taser, and of course, Editor-in-Chief Brian Powers. Follow him on Twitter at NoManPowers.
No Mr. Powers. God damn it, Iggy.
I'm the Marlowe Siggy. These are my crewmates. All you all stay marvelous, and we'll see you all in 2 weeks, and with put either one or two episodes, depending on how I'm feeling, but you're guaranteed to get X-Men Apocalypse sooner than you did Captain America. So until then, stay marvelous.